Hey there, you're listening to the Campus Bible Study podcast. If you'd like to find out more information, you can go to campusbiblestudy.org.
Well, welcome along back to the Campus Bible Study podcast for another opportunity to ask some questions about our talks. We're going through Romans this week at the Bible talks. We're up to chapter 8, and I've got Tim here with me.
It's good to be back on the podcast.
Fantastic. Now we have some lots of great questions this week about our passage in Romans chapter 8, 1 to 17. We're going to start with just thinking generally about one of the things that you proposed to us, which is spiritual and spirituality. The words that you used during your talk. And Tash was wondering, what do you mean by using those words in the context here?
Yeah, thanks, Tash. A good clarifying question. We started off by thinking about spirituality much as the world thinks about spirituality, recognizing that many in our world are seeing or craving for more than just the material explanation of things, that they feel that there's more to themselves or to life. And so this search for a spirituality or a spiritual experience, if you like. And I wanted to show that the Bible actually speaks into that space and gives us not just a spiritual experience amongst many, but the true, the genuine, the most full and deep spiritual experience, which is found through having the Spirit of the living God dwell within us. And as he does that, there's a number of different things that this passage tells us that the Spirit does. He sets us free. He gives us life and peace. He adopts us. And so we unpacked what spirituality looked like to see that the Christian life is a spiritual life because we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us, filling us and giving to us all these great spiritual blessings. Mm. So the passage doesn't use the language of spiritual, but it does talk a lot about the Spirit, and we're trying to connect those ideas.
Yeah, no, that's really helpful. And we did have a lot of questions that wanted to unpack different ideas about that very thing, the Spirit that keeps coming up in chapter 8, not only in our part, but also in the next part of the chapter as well. So going on with that, questions about the Spirit. Nathan from Arts and Ollie from Engineering, they both ask questions about the law of the Spirit that's particularly mentioned in verse 2. One person suggested that is it to do with the resurrection? The way in which we are freed from the old law through Jesus' resurrection. Can you help us think about what the law of the Spirit might be meaning?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's an interesting phrase, the law of the Spirit of life in verse 2 of chapter 8. Ross, why don't you look at the verses around it? How does that help us to understand what this phrase might be referring to? It's not a phrase that we see elsewhere in the Bible.
Yeah, well, it does proceed, or I start off before that with this great declaration that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and this law of the Spirit is related to that lack of condemnation that we can now have, and that it's also associated with being free, as mentioned, being free through and in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So it does distinguish itself from that which was the old and the part of the brokenness of our world, and something new, and that it is associated again with this freedom from God's righteous judgment of us. So I wonder if it's trying to describe, not really having many clues from the phrase being used too much elsewhere, to do with the new principle of being part of the new thing that God has done. I don't know if those ideas help.
You know, the idea of principle is helpful. Often we think with the law of the Mosaic Law, which is a great place to start. Paul has talked a lot about the Mosaic Law in Romans so far. Mm. But here he does seem to be contrasting two laws or two domains. One is the Spirit of life, and the other is of sin and death. And for those in Christ Jesus, for those with no condemnation, there's been this transferal of domain, there are now these principles of life and the Spirit is what is guiding and defining their experience rather than sin and death. So what is the law of the Spirit? Well, you'd want to keep reading the verse. It's the domain in which the believer lives, this place of spirit and wife, which is tied to the resurrection, as Ollie draws out. But you want to say it's actually something bigger than that. It's actually where we live and have freedom as those who have no condemnation in Christ Jesus, those who are adopted into God's family in Christ Jesus, who have no hostility towards God in Christ Jesus. It's what's the way of describing life in Christ, as verse 1 and 2 both draw our attention to.
It's like a new pattern.
Yeah, yeah. Pattern of living, sphere of experience.
Yeah.
And Ollie finishes off, how has the requirement of the law been fulfilled in us?
Mm.
What do you want to say to that, Ross?
Well, we're going to have some verses like that. In verse 4, that's where we see this expectation that something needs to fulfill the righteous requirement of the law. And preceding it, we have Jesus being sent and all the work, his work on the cross and his resurrection as well. That by those who are given his spirit, they're connected with that fulfillment that Jesus achieved. So I wonder if, yeah, it's helpful to think about in the resurrection, but not just the resurrection, also Jesus' life, his innocence and his right relationship with God and his willingness to still pay what the requirement that the law had, which was that which is disobedient and disobeys God and rejects him needs to have the right punishment. So that the spirit and being spiritual or having the spirit connects us with that Jesus fulfilling the righteous requirement. Is that helpful?
Yeah, it's the richness of the in Christ language, isn't it? That we're connected to him, so his righteous life, well, that's what fulfills the requirement of the law for us who are in him.
Yeah.
He is in us. His good life is fulfilled in us. Mm. And so we have that credited to us as he takes our condemnation for us.
Yeah, which really makes the being spiritual much more concrete than just being relaxed or peaceful or seeking to have good, meaningful relationships or anything like that. It really is very concrete in having a real relationship with the God of the universe, not just people or our world or anything like that, but actually the God who made the world.
Definitely.
So we have one last question that is thinking more and more about the spirit being used in this passage and what we can understand. Ray from Science in verse 16 asked about our spirit. So verse 16 reads, "The spirit," that's God's spirit, "himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." So Ray was wondering, do we have two spirits, God's spirit and our spirit?
It's a great question, Ray. These verses show us, I guess, some of what might even be behind part of Tash's question about the spiritual desires of our world. The passage does say that we have a spirit. Our spirit is something that this other spirit, the spirit, testifies to, which is a reminder that we are actually spiritual people. It's not just a bunch of atoms put together. There's a spiritual reality to what it is to be a human, which makes sense of what people are looking for or craving in the world around us. As far as are there two spirits, well, we have a spirit and God has a spirit, and God's spirit comes to dwell with our spirit. And I guess at that deep level of who we are, God speaks to us by his spirit, saying that we are his. It's that spirit of adoption. Yeah. It's that spirit that actually gives us the affirmation that as we come to Christ, he comes to us, makes his home with us, and so that we can be his children. And I take it that the spirit bears witness to us, not just by some kind of inner warm, fuzzy feeling, but as we saw time and again, that one of the great ways that the spirit speaks, the great way that the spirit speaks is through that the sword of the Spirit, the word that we have before us. And as we read these scriptures, the Spirit speaks to us deeply that we are adopted into God's family. And so one of the ways that God's Spirit gives us this assurance is in the words that we're reading right here in Romans chapter 8, as we're going to keep on seeing more of next week.
Mm. Oh, that's great. It's great to be able to reflect on, what the tricky and complex, the tricky things and the complexity of thinking about the Spirit and God's Spirit and how what he's done, but it's been a great reminder and encouragement to be seeing how special it is to be able to have God give us His Spirit and to speak through His Word by His Spirit as well. Thanks, Tim.
No worries. Let's finish with those great words we started with in chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. This is the great hope and the great confidence we have in Christ Jesus. So keep rejoicing in Him as His Spirit gives us that great assurance that we are not condemned before Him.